Today's shiur is Masechet Erev and Daf Kuf Aleph. We will begin on Daf Kuf Aleph and Aleph at the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins at Dal Shav Muksa. You have a doorway in the back of your home. V'kenei chadokim, where you have pieces of thorns, shbepirza, that you've used in a breach in your wall around the chotzer. And that's the way you use it as an entrance to come in and out of the chotzer. And they have mats made out of reeds, also that were used as a door. One may not use them to close the door on Shabbos. Unless they're above the ground. Most Rishonim are of the opinion, just even a drop, because when they're above the ground, it's noticeable that they're being used as a door. But if they're not above the ground and you're closing the door with them and they're not connected to the door, so people understand that what's happening here is, in people's mind, what you're doing here is you're creating a wall, you're putting a wall up, and since you're putting up a wall, that's why the halacha is that you may not do that on Shabbos, because of course any act of construction is also on Shabbos. Why does the Mishnah specifically speak about a delos shebamuksa, a delos in the back of the house? So again, says the Ravid, very much along the meaning of this entire Mishnah, he says, since people don't use the back, not in those days at least, used it on a regular basis, so people therefore assume that there's no door. And when you're putting up this makeshift door, you're putting it up on Shabbos, which of course is Asur. But if it's a door that's used on a regular basis, then the rules of our Mishnah would not apply. What is considered that's a door that's used on a regular basis? So Sefer Tosfos Shabbos says that if the door is used within 30 days, then within every 30 days, that's considered a regularly used door. And if it's a regularly used door, then it's fine. As I said, most Rishonim are of the opinion that as long as the door is above ground, even just a slight amount, that is enough to solve the problem that we are discussing. I did, however, see that the Rabbeinu Yoinasin says that the shear has to be 3 tefachim. Begins the Gemara. For many, we learned in Masechta Shabbos, Delos HaNegreris, if you have a door which is dragging on the ground, or Machtzelos HaNegreris, or you're using a mat instead of your door, and that mat is dragging on the ground, the Kankan HaNegrer, and you're using the handle of a plow instead of a door, and it's dragging on the ground, because Manchik Shurim V'Tluyim, when they're tied to the door and suspended from it, Noyal and Bamba Shabbos, you may use that door on Shabbos. Ventrachlam and Beyontif, Yontif is certainly more lenient than Shabbos. According to the Brisa, as long as it's suspended from the doorway, you could use it even though it drags on the ground. Our Mishnah says that it has to be raised above the ground. Amar Abaya responds, Abaya, it is an afkamina. B'sheshlam tzir, if they have a pivot, so they're recognized as a door, we could be more lenient. Rav Amar, k'shehoylan tzir. It doesn't mean that they currently have a pivot. As long as they even once had a pivot, that is enough of a indication that this was a door, that this is a door, and we could be more lenient. So Machloikis Rashi says, k'shehoylan tzir, means that the door has a pivot. However, there are other Rishonim that say that the pivot is not on the door, but rather that the pivot is on the doorway. Amar Abaya. And so that's the nafka mina. But if they're not kshurim v'tluyim, so it still looks, explains the Mishnah Berura in Siman Shin Yud Gimel Sifkat Chavov, that even though they have a pivot, the pivot, the tzir alone, is not enough for us to be lenient. We could be more lenient than the Mishnah, but not entirely lenient. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. It says in the Brayso, Delos on the Gueris, Bechtzelos, and the Gueris, the Kankara Nigrer, Bizman, Sheshlem Tzir, the Gvoim and Aris, Afilim Molly Nima, Noel and Baum, Vimlav, and Noel and Baum. So we see that they have to be Gvoim and Aris and Tzir. Answers the Gemara, Abai Matas Tamei, Rav Matas Tamei. Each opinion will explain according to their opinion. What it means to say is the Braisa doesn't require both a tzir and that they should be raised up from the ground, which would be contradictory to what we just said. But the Braisa saying is, or you could have one or the other. So if they have a tzir, then they don't have to be lifted up from the ground. If they don't have a tzir, then you have to have that they should be lifted up from the ground. And Rava on Matas Tamei, and again Rava following his opinion, he doesn't have to even have currently he doesn't have to have a pivot. As long as they once had a pivot, that's enough for us to be lenient. So our Gemara is speaking about a delish of a muksa, a Mishnah Gemara, and is teaching us what is the halacha if you want to put up this makeshift door on Shabbos? When is it mutter? When is it not mutter? So the Sefer Chashuki Chema discusses an unfortunate question, but that could come up. Let's say somebody has a window with a very large glass at the front of the store through which people see what's in the store, and that window got broken on Shabbos. People smash that window. You don't want to leave it open. So now the question is, are you allowed to board up that window on Shabbos? It's similar to the discussion that we're discussing, because in our Gemara we're speaking about putting up a makeshift door. Similarly, are you allowed to put up a board just temporarily in order to close up your window? So he takes the position that it would be mutter. He says that if it's only near a kabbinah, so as we're learning in our Gemara, where it's near a kabbinah, it's only an issa d'rabbanan. And if you won't do it yourself, but you will ask a nachri to do it, leaving your store completely open like that is certainly a makom hefsed. So if it's a shvus to shvus, where the entire way that you're doing the binyan is not a binyan d'raisa, and it's being done al-yidei nachri, so shvus to shvus, but makom mitzvah, we could be more lenient with, and therefore one could board up the store that way. Tana Rabbana continues the Gemara, soiche kitzim v'chavolim, if you have bundles of thorns, sheskin l'pirtzah shebechatzar, that were prepared to be used as a door to close up a wall in the chatzar, bezmanchik shur v'tluyim, when they're tied to the wall and suspended from it, noyel bam b'shabbos, they can be used to close on Shabbos. Ve'in tzarich lehem v'yontif, and certainly you may do so on yontif as well. Tanya Reb Chiya, delos amona hanegreris, a door which is a widow door. When the Gemara is going to explain what that means, that means it's not your regular door. The halacha is, one may not close it to use on a door at Shabbos. And Tosfos points out that when we're being strict here with the Delos Almana, which the Gemara is about to explain in a moment, we're strict even if it has a tzir, even if it has a pivot. Because Tosfos explains that since it's such a weak door, a tzir alone will not be able to help it. Ask the Gemara, so ask the Gemara, what exactly is a del samana? Says the Gemara, ikadamri dechat shifa, if it's made out of a single board. So then, in those days, doors were typically made out of two boards. So if you have something that's made out of one board, it's not going to be considered a real door. For ikadamri delesle gishama, that it doesn't have a cross beam, the two sections of the door are only attached with nails and not with crossbars, and therefore it's asur. When we learned Masechta Shabbos, we discussed quite extensively in Masechet Shabbos that is an Isser Abinyan. And as the Rishon of the Meiri explains, since this perek began with a discussion about Binyan, the Gemara continues to discuss situations which will be at least Binyan Derabbanan. Because as we learned in Masechet Shabbos, making an oil kva is also midaraisa on Shabbos. Making an oil arai, a temporary oil, is osur midrabonim. However, when Chazal said that an oil arai is osur, they only said it's osur if it's constructed in a similar manner to the way buildings are normally built. The way buildings are normally built is that they put up the sides, and after you put up the sides, that's when you put up the roof. So if you, certainly when you're concerned, as we're going to learn in our Gemara, with a situation of binyan midrabanan, if you're not going to do it in the normal fashion, where you're going to do it in a reversed fashion, then Chazal did not say that oil aroy is osur. And that's the psak of the Mishnah Brura and Simen Shin Tezvov Sifkotan Aleph. All of this is only when you need the area that's under the roof that you are making. But if you're taking something, and this is, of course, if you're just going to stack something on Shabbos, that would not be considered even an act of oil arai. So explains the Gemara, gives us a number of examples of this principle. Amar Yehuda, Hai Medorsa. If somebody has a bonfire that has logs on the sides and logs on top of them, if you want to construct it, obviously we're talking about Yontif. On Shabbos, you can't construct it. And as the Rishonim explained this Gemara, when you make a bonfire, you just don't want to stack the wood one on top of the other. Because if you're going to just stack the wood one on top of the other, you're going to have no room for air to penetrate. So what they used to do is, they used to build it in an expert fashion with room for air to get in. So says the Gemara, if you build it milmala milmata, normally when you build these bonfire, when you would build such a bonfire, you would build it sides first and then put it on the top. If you did it the other way, it's fine. But if you did it milmata milmala, if you did it from bottom to top, it's mutter. And again, it's osur. And again, the very important point to make here is that even though at the end of the day you're going to have this structure, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's only an oil arai and you didn't build it in the normal fashion that they're built, so when you have these two factors taken into consideration, we could be lenient. Says the Gemara Kain Beyosa. If somebody wants to put an egg on a grill, so first he should put the egg on top of mid-air and then put the grill under it. Again, we're obviously talking about Yontif. There is Shainim that explained that we're speaking here where we have two eggs on the side and one egg over it, and we want to grill the egg that way. The Chazon Ish has difficulty accepting that interpretation, because if you have just three eggs, then it won't reach to the height of a tefach. And the halacha is that if there is no height of a tefach, then there is no binyan, there is no oil arai either. And therefore he has to say that what the Gemara, according to Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation, is referring to a situation where you have a number of eggs stacked on the side and then an egg on top of them. But as I said, Rashi explains that we're putting an egg on top of a grill. And the question is, what should you do first? Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Because Tosfos says that if we're dealing with a situation where it's a grill, which is already built and made before Shabbos, and now you just want to put an egg on top of that, that isn't considered even asiyas oil arai. He says that the only time Chazal said that there's a problem of making an oil arai on Shabbos is if you're making both the sides and the top. But if you're only making the top and the sides are already there from before, then it's fine. And for that reason, Tyson says that if you have something that already has the sides prepared and you put up the top, that's not considered making an oil arai. The way, as we learned a while ago in Masechta Shabbos and Perikira, the way their ovens were constructed was their ovens really looked like a big pot. And there was a big pot on over the fire, and then you put another pot over the hole that was on top. So Taisha says, if this is considered making oil arai, so how would the halacha allow us to put a pot on a kira ever? Wouldn't that be considered that I'm making an oil arai? And the answer is, it's not considered making an oil arai because the kira is already prepared from before. And since the kira is prepared from before, that's not a maisa oil arai. So the question that comes up is that Achronim discuss: could you put a board on top of a big barrel that will become your table? The Chaya Adam is machmer. Even though putting something on top of your table is permissible, but the table that you have has legs. The legs don't come down all the way. But here, where the sides of this barrel that you're using for the base of your table have four full sides, that would be considered making an oil arai. We just learned that if the legs are there from before, there is no issue of oil arai. Rashi seems to be concerned. The Chazon Ish, however, paskin that as long as the sides were there from before Shabbos, there is no problem of oil arai. Continues the Gemara, v'chein kidra. The same thing would apply to a pot that we just learned. If somebody wants to put a pot across the top of two barrels, not that you had the kira, like Taisha says, prepared from before, you have to hold the pot above, and after you hold the pot above, then you could put the two pots that are going to be on the side. V'chein poria. It says the same thing with a bed. If you have a collapsible bed, you have to put the horizontal part first, and after you have the horizontal part, then you have a problem. Then you could put the side legs. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's only when it's a full-fledged bed. When you don't have, as we just said, most of the sides prepared from before. In other words, the way you're going to prepare the collapsible bed is not with full boards along the sides. It's just with legs along the side. Then that's not a problem because that isn't considered an oil because the sides are not completely covered. Another point that we have to make, that even if you have to want to use the area under the bed, if you don't want to use the areas under the bed, then it's not considered oil. The Bi'a Locha, however, in Divrei Maskil, Mitois in Paskins, the L'chatchili, even if the sides don't go from side to side, just legs, one should avoid doing so on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, V'chein Chavita. If somebody wants to put a barrel on top of other barrels, he should put them in a way that you put the top and then you do the sides. So Tosfos points out, Divrei Maskil V'chein, that we sometimes put Sforim one on top of the other. Why is there no problem? So Tosfos says, as we just explained, the only time it's a problem is when we need the airspace that's under what we're constructing. But when we put Sforim on top of each other, first of all, the way we're learning it would have to be in a very specific manner. But we're not looking for the airspace under the Sforim. If we're not looking for the airspace under the Sforim, the concerns that have been raised in our Gemara will not be relevant. This Gemara is the basis of a famous discussion, and that is the shaila of may one open up a umbrella on Shabbos. And most poskim are of the opinion that it's usur because of oil. When I open up the umbrella And the reason we're opening up the umbrella is to protect ourselves from the sun, from the rain, so that there's a, I want to be under this covering. So therefore, it's considered making an oil. Especially if I'm trying to do it in a fashion where I'm making it that should stay steady by pushing up the metal piece in the middle. However, there is a big machlokes. What is going to be the halacha, especially if you had the umbrella open from before Shabbos? And you have an umbrella open from before Shabbos, and you want to be able to carry it, obviously, in a place where there's an Erev, so carrying is not your concern. May you walk out that way or not. So the Noida Behuda was very machmer in carrying an umbrella, opening an umbrella, or carrying an umbrella, even though it's a temporary situation. He says an oil, which is temporary, is still considered oil. He brings a raya, the famous Gemara Masechta Pora, in other places in Shas, that they were very concerned that everything that was done in the preparation of the Pora Aduma should be done with Tahara. So the people that they used were children who never became Tamei. And what they did was they carried them over a bridge to where they needed to go. Those bridges were temporary bridges, yet we see that they considered an oil. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. He says that an oil is only when it's constructed like an oil. And as Al-Gemar says, when you have two sides and a top above. When you have an umbrella, you don't have two sides and a top above, and therefore it's not considered making an oil. He called him a thorny one. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says regarding Klal Yisrael, in Micha, Toivam Kechedek, the best in Klal Yisrael are like a thorn. Amalei, so Rishu responded to him, Shatya Shafil L'Seif D'Kra. Look at the end of the Pasuk. And as the Be'er Yaakov, as the In Yaakov explains the Gemara, we know it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezu Chochem Harayis Anoilid. So he said to him, you fool, you only read the first half of the Pasuk. You're supposed to read the back part, the rest of the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? The Ksiv, the end of the Pasuk says, Yosher Mimsucha, they're better than a shelter, which of course is a compliment. Elamai, ask the Gemara, what is Pshat when the Pasuk says, Toivim Kechedek? Shem Shchadokim Halolu, just like when we speak about thorns, Meginim al Pirtza, we've been speaking from the beginning of our Perek, that they used to use thorns to protect them from a breach in the door. So too, Kach Toivim Shemanu, Megidim Aleinu, the Tzadikim are those that protect us. Dava Acher, Dava Kim Chedem, Shemahatkim Es Rishoyim Gul Gehenim. The Tzadikim push the Rishoyim into Gehenim. Shnema, Kumi Vidoshi Bat Siyin, Kikarnach Osim Barzel, Ufar Soseich Osim Nechushim, Vadokis Amim Rabim, they will push them into Gehenim. The Binyo explains, Kechedek stands Koyach Dach, that even though they are Koyach, even though, as we just learned, the tzaddikim have tremendous power, dak, they consider themselves small. They're always very humble and modest. So Rashi says that they pushed the Rishayim into Gehenim. The Ramban explains that they caused them to be ground. And the Mashal explains, we know that the Gemara says that the tzaddikim noitun chelkon v'chelk ha-Rishayim Olam Haba, that not only the tzaddikim take their own share of Olam Haba, but they take the share of the Rishoyim, and that's what the Gemara means here. Says the Mishnah, Lo yamar adam rishus hayochid, a person may not stand in rishus hayochid and pick up a key in the rishus rabim, v'yiftach rishus rabim, and unlock a door in the rishus rabim, because we are concerned that he may bring the key into the Rishus HaYochid, and that will be carrying from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or vice versa. Rishus HaRabim, he may not stand in Rishus HaRabim and pick up a key in the Rishus HaYochid, the Yiftach Rishus HaYochid, and open up a door in the Rishus HaYochid, because again, he may bring the key to the Rishus HaRabim. And Rashi gives us an example. Let's say the key is on the roof of a building which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. A person who stands in the Rishus Rabbim should not reach up and use it in a lock that's more than 10 tefachim above the ground, because we're concerned that he may bring the key within 10 tefachim of the ground. But an area which is as within 10 tefachim of the ground, as we've discussed, is the Rishus Rabbim. And now he's going to be carrying it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Elm Kain, all this is permissible. Also Mechitza Gvayas HaTfachim. If he put around where he's standing partitions that are 10 tefachim high, so he turns the area of where he's standing into Rishus HaYochid, so there's no concern that he's going to be carrying from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid or vice versa. Divrei Rameya. That's the opinion of Rameya. Amaloi, but the Chachamim said to Rameya, "Mas b'shuk shel p'tam shoy b'shlaim." There was a story in the butcher's market in Shlaim. Shoy Nalim, they were locked their doors, were standing in the street. U'menichnas mafteh chaloyin shugav pesach, and leave the key on the window above the door. The window had the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. So we see that we're standing in the Rishus Rabim, and we're working in the Rishus HaYochid with the key, moving it from the lock to on top of the door, and we're not concerned that if we're going to move it, we may end up moving it to where we are in the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Yossi Omer wasn't a shuk shel p'tamim, a butcher's shuk shel tzemarim, it was a wool's market. So I saw that the Miri explains that why do we need to know that it was this type of market or that type of market. So Miri says because the Mishnah wants to be accurate and tell us exactly what it was. Another pshat that I saw from the Tveris Yisrael, he explains that a meat market is an area that you need to go to on a regular basis. They needed to have meat to eat on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. But when we speak about a wool market, it's not a place that you really need to be on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So maybe since it's not a place that you need to be on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even the Chachamim would agree that we should be machmer, teaches us our Gemara that Chachamim are lenient under all circumstances in this situation. Rabbanan, how do we understand indeed the opinion of Rabbanan who disagree with Rameya? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rameya, Rameya discussed the Rishus HaRabim, Mahadri Inu Karmelis. They're speaking about a Karmelis, because Yerushalayim, as we're about to learn, is a Karmelis. So how are we bringing a raya, how the Rabbanan bringing a raya against the Rameya from Yerushalayim? Rameya was speaking about Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, and Yerushalayim is a Karmelis. And the Gemara now explains why Yerushalayim is a Karmelis. Dama Rabba B'chana Om Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim and Moli Dalsaseh and Ninnois Belayla, if not for the fact that Yerushalayim had closed doors that are closed at night, Chayav Olam Mishum Rishus HaRabim, it would be considered Rishus HaRabim. When we learned Masech Shabbos in Masech Daf Vavam and Aleph, we learned many conditions of what makes an area a Rishus HaRabim. And if it doesn't have the characteristics and the conditions of the Rishus HaRabim that were in the Midbar, that area cannot be considered a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara says, Yerushalayim had doors all around it. And since it had doors all around it, so it's not a Rishus HaRabim. Because of course the Midbar, which we just said is the model for all Rishus HaRabims, did not have a door around it. So how could it must have been a Karmelis? So the Gemara's question is, even though Yerushalayim had the 600,000 people that would make an area into a Rishus HaRabim, it didn't have it had doors, and therefore it's a Karmelis. So isn't our Mishnah, so how do Rabbanan responding from a Karmelis to Rameya's position that is a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid? Answers the Gemara, Amra Papa, Kanshin Kodim Shnifritzu Paratus, before the walls of Yerushalayim were breached, indeed it had the din of a Karmelis, but after Kanla'acha Shnifritzu Paratus, after the doors of Yerushalayim were breached, so now it doesn't have doors around it. And therefore the halacha is that it would be considered therefore it's not considered a full-fledged Rishus HaRabim, and therefore the opinion of the Rabbanon is well understood. There's a question that the Paiskim discuss. Does it have to have doors? Or if it has just something blocking it by each entrance and exit, that would be enough to make it that it should not be Rishus Rabbim. Most are of the opinion that just anything that makes it completely enclosed, even though it isn't full-fledged doors, the Chazon Ish held that if you just have different objects that block the entrance, but it's not in the Tzuras HaPesach, that isn't good enough. So we just identified that as long as Yerushalayim had doors, it's considered a Karmelos. The question is, why is Yerushalayim at that point considered a Karmelos? As we've discussed, particularly in this Masechta, many times, the definition of a Karmelos is not a place that's closed. It's a place that's exposed, but it doesn't have all of the conditions of a Rishus Rabbim. It's not 16 amos wide, or it's a city without a population of 600,000 people. But if it's an area that's enclosed, then it's not a Karmelos. It ought to be a Rishus HaYochid. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says, based on this Gemara, we learned that a public city can never be made into Rishus HaYochid, even if it's enclosed by walls and the gates are closed every night. Since it's a public city, even though it's enclosed, what that could accomplish is it takes it down from being a Rishus Rabbim to a Karmelos, but it can't make it into a Rishus HaYochid. There are others that disagree. They ask, so our Gemara is clearly a raya to Rabbeinu Ephraim, because our Gemara says, our Gemara is certainly considering Yerushalayim, as long as it had doors, a Karmelos, not a Rishus HaYochid. So they explain that even though Yerushalayim had these doors, it's still considered a Karmelos, because as we've learned, Baruch Hashem, so many times in our Masechta, they still need to make an Erev to be able to carry in a Karmelos. So Yerushalayim, in a place that's enclosed, that's a public area. So Yerushalayim indeed had enclosed areas, and it's a Rishus HaYochid, but you still have to make an Erev. And since they make an Erev, it has the status of a Karmelos. So I saw why indeed didn't they make an Erev around in Yerushalayim, a Ruvich HaTzeres, that he should be able to carry. So they explained that since Yerushalayim was a place that everybody came all the time to be Oyla Regal, and not everybody had an Erev in the city that they lived in. And certainly, most cities did not have walls and doors around them like Yerushalayim had. And if people will see that you're allowed to carry here, they'll think that you're always allowed to carry in Shabbos. In order to avoid such a mistake from happening, they never made an Erev around Yerushalayim, so people were never able to carry there. Says the Gemara, Rava says a different teretz. He says, Sefer Asun Sharigina. Indeed, the end of our Mishnah is speaking about a Karmelos, Vachikomer. And the way to understand Rav Meir and the Rabbanan in the Mishnah is the Rav Meir is saying, V'chein l'yami Rishus HaYochid, a person may not stand in Rishus HaYochid for Yiftach B'Karmelos and unlock doors in a Karmelos, or B'Karmelos for Yiftach Rishus HaYochid. So what the Gemara is saying now is that the din that Rameyus said in our Mishnah is not just limited to, is not just said by Rishus Rabbim, Rishus HaYochid, that Rameyus was concerned that you're going to carry from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus HaYochid, but the din that Rameyus said in our Mishnah was even said by a Karmelos, and the only time, as we looked in a Mishnah, Rameyus will be lenient is Elam Ken Osam Achitza Gvaya Sar Tvachim. If you made the area, if you put up partitions that are 10 tefachim high around the area where you are standing, and like that, you'll create that the entire area that you are standing in is a Rishus HaYochid, and then we need not be concerned that you're going to be carrying from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus Rabbim, Divrei Meir. And now we can understand the continuation of the Mishnah, Armalai and the Chacham Satra Meir, the Masa B'Shuk Shabbatam Shoyi B'Shulayim, Shoyi Nalim, or Menechet Zavteich B'Chaloyin Shagabe Pesach. So we see that you can use a key in the Rishus HaYochid, even though you're standing in a Karmelos. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, and as we learned, Rabbi Yossi said it was a shuk shel tzemarim, it was a wool market, not a meat market. So the Gemara delves in further into the halachas that we just learned in our Mishnah, when you could stand in Karmelis while carrying in the Rosh HaYachid. Tanabonim, we learned in the Braisa, Pesach Sharigina, the door of a garden, which is the way to get in between the garden and Rosh HaRabim. You could open, you could carry a key, you could use a key there. When there's a gatehouse, where there's the booth, with the dimensions of Rosh HaYachid on the side of the garden of the gate, and the gate opens to it, Pesach V'nah B'fnim. So you could lock or unlock a gate from the inside, from the side of the garden, while standing in that gatehouse, because you're standing only in Rosh HaYachid. But you cannot, you may not stand on the Rosh HaRabim side where there is no gatehouse, because then we have the concern that we just discussed. If the gatehouse is on the Rosh HaRabim side of the gate, you could use the key on that side. Again, because by standing inside this gatehouse, you're standing in the Rosh HaYachid, and our concern doesn't apply. However, if furthermore, says the Brayis Mikan, if there are gatehouses on both sides, so if there's gatehouses on both sides, the halacha is, you could stand on both sides of the door because you'll never have, you're always standing in Rosh HaYachid and working in Rosh HaYachid. However, if there isn't a gatehouse on either side of the door, then the halacha is asur v'kan v'kan, you may not stand on either side because we're concerned that you're going to be end up carrying. Continues the Braisa. You have stores that open up into Rosh HaRabim. When the lock of the door to the store is below 10 tefachim, and since it's below 10 tefachim, that means it's an area which is a karmelis, maybe mafteich me'erev Shabbos, he should bring the key from before Shabbos, a menuyach be'skupa, and leave it on the threshold of the door, which is also a karmelis, a machor, and then on Shabbos, pesach v'noyel, and you could open and close with that key. Magzirin la kuskupa. He has to stand on the threshold, while Rashi explains, while he's using the key. So that means that both the person and the key are in a karmelis, because if he's standing outside of the threshold, so he would be standing in the Rosh HaRabim. And if he's standing in Rosh HaRabim and using the key in the lock, which is a karmelis, that would be usur, because this Bryce is following the opinion of Rameya, who, as we learned a few moments ago, is machmer, or even in a karmelis. And then afterwards, you put it back on the karmelis. But if the lock is above 10 tefachim, and therefore if it's above 10 tefachim, it's a rishus hayochid, and you can't carry, therefore, so therefore, even if you're standing on the threshold, which is karmelis, you'll be carrying from the karmelis to Rosh HaYachid. Or even if you're not carrying, we need to be concerned, says Rameya, that you're going to carry from the Rosh HaYachid to the karmelis. So what should you do then? Mevi mefteich me'erev Shabbos, bring the key from before Shabbos, or menich b'minol, put it on top of the lock, put it into Rosh HaYachid, and then tomorrow you could use the key to lock it, unlock with it, because everything that you're doing is in Rosh HaYachid. So the question is, but you're standing in a karmelis, and standing in a karmelis, you're not allowed to do it. So Rameya says that from here we see that Rameya became a little more lenient in the case of a karmelis. We're going to see this in the Gemara soon. And that's why he allowed this. Divrei Rameya. The Chamayimrim. Af is man shamin alamal mesar tefachim. Even when the lock is above 10 tefachim. Maybe mafteach me'erev Shabbos. Bring the key from before Shabbos. Or menich beskupa and leave it on the threshold. L'macha b'seich v'noyel. And the next day you could use the key to unlock or lock the lock. And you can put it back on the threshold, or you can put it on the windowsill above the doorway. Again, it has to be an area which is less than dal tefachim wide, and if it's less than dal tefachim wide, it's a makom ptur. arba al arba. But if the windowsill is dalad al dalad, so it's shusa yochid, then it would be asur. Because what you would be doing then, you'd be taking the key from a karmelis, the threshold, to this area, which is Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So the Gemara now delves into this braisa. Says the Gemara, Midakam v'chem chanuyus, the braisa spoke about stores. We're trying to compare the case of a garden, which is a karmelis, and the case of a store. So obviously, when we're speaking about the store, and we're speaking about the threshold, we must be describing a threshold, says the Gemara, Mechlal de Biskupas Karmelis Eskinen, that this threshold is a karmelis. So as the Gemara, let's speak about the lock. Hai min al hechidomi. Exactly how do we understand this lock? Ita lesbe arba, if the area of the lock is less than dal tfachim wide, so then it's a makom p'tor. And we know there are a lot of carry between any rishus and a makom p'tor. The esbe arba, but ask the Gemara, if it is dal tfachim wide, ask the Gemara, how could Behal Lem Rabbanon, how could the Rabbanon say, Abiz Mansha Minal Mal Mayud, even if the lack is above 10 tfachim, the Loch is Mevi Mafteh Menich Mershas Menich Beskupa, on Shabbos you could bring a key and leave it on the threshold, which is karmless, and then Lamocha Pesach Venoil Boy, and the next day you could use it to lock or unlock with it, and then put it on the threshold, or put it on the windowsill, which is above the doorway, by doing so, you're carrying from the karmelis, the threshold, to the Rishus HaYochid. The Rabbanim, nobody could allow that to happen in Shabbos. Says the Gemara, the lock is not dalad al dalad, and since it's not a dalad al dalad, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. However, v'yesh by lochuk, but it's thick enough that even though currently it's not carved out, you could carve out a space and make it into Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And this is a machloikus that we've had previously, and the machloikus of Ramei and Rabbanan is Ramei of Chaykik Lahashlam, that even though right now it doesn't have the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but you have enough room that you could turn this area into Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so by carving it out, it already has the din of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So therefore we look at it like Rosh Hashanah Yochid already. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say that if right now it doesn't have the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we don't say Chaykikin Lahashlam. Om Rabibi Barabaya, Shema Mina Mohammed Snisa Tlas. After we learn this Braisa, we can learn three halachas. Shema Mina, we learn the halacha of Chaykikin Lahashlam, that we could do, that we could turn an area into Rosh Hashanah Yochid by doing imaginary carving. Ramei retracted from his psak about making the gates by the garden, because we see over here that he allowed you to stand by the karmelis and work in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So not required you to make partitions to make the area in which you are standing also into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And from learning the opinion of the Rabbanon, we see how a psak that Rav Dimi gave us very much corroborated. The chiyosar of Dimi Amr B'yachim, Mokim Shein by Arba Al Barba, a place which is not Dalad Al Dalad, Mutal B'nei Rosh Hashanah, therefore it's a Mokim P'tor, Mutal B'nei Rosh Hashanah, B'nei Rosh Hashanah Yochid, people both from the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah Yochid could put objects on it, Lekatafalof, could put objects on it, as long as they don't use it as a place to transfer from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Shus Rabim. So we see that the Chum say that you can't use the key, the karmelis, to take it to a windowsill, which is Dalad al Dalad, through the Mokim P'tor. But if you're just going to carry it to a Mokim P'tor, that is Mutar.